Very good, and welcome to the Fred Report Technical Market Call for March 16th, 2023. Obviously, it's been a fun expiration. We're seeing a lot of expiration shenanigans. I do want to mention that our plan of having the spider drop to the 380 area and buying it seems to be, have worked so far. And it looks as if this area is going to be a low area, and then we'll have an advance, into probably June or so, May, June, and then a pullback June, July, say. So remember, this is a trading range. This is actually still a bear market as far as my indicators are concerned, but in the recovery phase. So life is good. Just keep following your plan and pecking away at stuff that you like. I want to mention a couple things. Obviously, we had a number of questions on some of these bank stocks like FRC and Truist and those. And realize that when you get charts like this, these are no longer technical patterns. The same comment applies to every single one of them. That's what we meant by same and the comment on Truist, which I guess somebody asked about. The whole trick here is to realize that after big drops like this, think of it in terms of dropping a ball out a window, you will see a pattern of basing, sideways action, chopping around, that sort of thing, and not really, any sort of resolution as the fundamentals sort of work themselves out. So we recommended to a number of the Merrill brokers that we have on the call that we're talking to buy Bank of America in their 401ks below 30, and we would be pecking away at that over, a few days. And realize that this stock is probably not going to go right back up, but rather is going to go sideways for a period of weeks or months. This is normal, at least a period of weeks. So what I did myself was I picked a bank stock I really liked, a bank that I know, a bank that I liked, and bought some of it with the idea being that I'm going to buy more of it over the next couple of months. I'm going to hold it for at least a year unless it goes up and hits my price objective before that. But my plan buying it was really to start a position and peck away at it over time and realize it may take 6 months to a year before it recovers completely, if indeed it's going to recover. I may have picked a bank that is going to go to zero. Who knows? But I don't think any of these banks are going to go to zero. When you look at other financial crises with bank failures. My first big bank failure was Penn Square. Obviously, Continental Illinois was a fun one. These are banks that nobody even remembers, but the banking system was just fine after it. So, but it wasn't fine right away, and there was a lot of angst and there was a lot of noise. So, but there's no good way to evaluate these technically because the charts are broken, and they're really trading on fundamentals and not technicals at this point. In terms of the market itself, we're looking, as we say, for this 380 area to hold. We'd like to see us down today. Ideally, like to see us go below 385 today on the spider. If we do that and then come back above it tomorrow, the market has probably made a trading bottom for a rally, as we say, into at least April, May period. We'll be looking for sell signals if we get up around 420, 430 on the spider. That's basically, all we had to say about that. In terms of the bond market, let's take a quick look. TLT is trading, again, within the range. We had a number of people that sold it at 109. We'd be selling it at 109 to 110 with a view towards seeing this market go back to 100. Again, there's been some accumulation in bonds, so there may be, a little bit more in it. We still actually think the Federal Reserve is going to raise. We think they need to raise, and, whatever happens. And that may again cause a little bit more angst in the market, but we think they're definitely going to raise. You know, again, the 5-year note has come right down to where we thought it would. It's holding support here. You've got stochastic buys on it, just as you have little short-term stochastic sells on TLT. And so we'll have to see what happens. But again, I'm looking at all these things as being in a range. In terms of commodities, we have been asked about oil. Oil looks like it has started its period of seasonal weakness early. We would like to see XLE hopefully head for 60 to 70 or so. It's also a range, a consolidation, and it normally falls into May. So we would expect that to occur. Along with seasonal weakness in oil. We haven't had seasonal weakness in oil the last couple of years because of the Ukraine war, but nonetheless, we're expecting it this year. And again, let me just mention something else since it just hit me. You know, obviously, small cap value has come down. It's in a range and close to the bottom end of it. Small cap growth, large cap growth have all come down within the context of being in a range. Everything has the potential to be in a range right now. So, you know, it depends on, you know, your models, but what you want to be doing is adding the cash back into things that we raised trading-wise at the end of January. Some people I know have as much as 25% cash. We want to be adding that back in this week, and we want to be looking to sell it when we get to the top end of the range, and just keep your core positions. And watch how those core positions are doing. The way the internals looked last week, and we'll see how they look this week, fewer and fewer stocks are actually going down. So you may be in a situation where, you know, some of the stocks in your models are really good ones. Don't go all the way back down. We'll just have to see. So, you know, realize nothing is going to be, you know, at least some things may have the potential to fight the market and not be in a trading range, but I would just assume everything is until you're safe and the market, you know, resumes whatever trend it's going to resume, which we think will be up if the indicators keep looking the way they look. Gold is up. We still don't have any accumulation in gold. If you're in it, we would sell it, or at least have a benchmark on it. We don't see a lick of accumulation. We ran the models. We'll run that model again this week. But this looks more like, you know, a sell rally to us than not. The dollar, by the way, is UUP is a 28 to 28.50 range. It hit 28.50 yesterday. We are expecting this to actually ultimately go through this 20.50 area and head for 29.5. That should be the move that we look at. And we notice the dollar, again, you trade the stochastics on these things, on everything in this kind of environment, which is a trading range, and you won't have a lot of real bad problems. We've got a buy signal on the dollar here, so we're expecting to see it do fairly well. Oddly enough, I don't have any real comments to make. You know, the only one I would also make is, you know, obviously we've had some high emotion here. But we would not really expect a good trading bottom to be formed with no emotion. So everything here is normal. And I guess we'll open the call to Jeff Garbaz. Jeff, are you there?
Hey, so how are you?
Good.
Are you worried about expiration tomorrow?
No, I actually think expiration tomorrow is going to be a relatively non-event, and the market's going to be up a little bit tomorrow. I think a lot of the stuff that we're seeing here is related to expiration now. So we're seeing it now.
Even though it's quadruple witching.
Yeah.
And we're at such and like, it seems to me if we break 3,800 or even the 385 area on SPY, that we could really just go off the cliff if we fail at the December lows. Do you not feel that way?
No, I'm actually, you know, expecting us to possibly break a little bit and then come back above. But, you know, so far, this has worked about the way we thought it was going to work, and we don't have any reason to change what we're doing. We will certainly, by the way, Jeff, and again, I'm not recommending this for the average client on the phone. I am emphatically not. But if we do go below 385 today on the Spider, I will buy the calls that expire on Friday for 385.
Okay. So why do you think the value stocks are just getting their ass kicked so badly?
Well, they're in a range. Growth is in a range. You know, ideally, some of these value stocks will have their period of collapse since this is a bear market. You know, they fought the market last year, but if you look at the long-term charts, they still look a good bit better. Growth, I mean, in fact, if I'm looking at VBK here, which is small cap growth, if this really starts to break down below 202, this could be at 150, the 2020 lows, quicker than you could ever say. I mean, like days.
So BBK is the symbol for that, just so people.
Yes, Victor know. Boy, Cool Cigarettes. I never remember Cool on the military call signs.
Okay.
Kilo.
So for small cap to bottom, seems a pretty obvious comment to say that KRE needs to bottom as well, or KDE. Do you agree with that? Because there was causing small cap to just get eradicated here.
Yeah, that's possible. But again, a bottom in that, to me, is going to consist of sideways action, not going up. And again, Jeff, if you look at VBR, what you see is a perfect 140 to 175 range that it's trading in. It's a high-level consolidation. This is the sort of thing, and again, Jeff, don't mean to be blasé, but right now we look at the 70s on a very long-term chart and just say that was a nice consolidation before a big advance in the 80s and 90s. If you lived through that, you were having 50 to 60% swings in the Dow, right? It didn't feel like a nothing burger consolidation. But that's really what it was, if you sat and lived through it.
So, I mean, on VBR, I looked at three different bands. I looked at volatility bands, acceleration bands, and Bollinger bands, right?
Right.
And it seems like on VBR, like we're at the very low end of the lower band range-wise, and if we don't hold that, it's like, see ya. Like, if we break 150, would you become even more concerned about VBR? Like,
absolutely, yes.
Okay.
And actually, no, not 150. I would say 140. That's the bottom of the range. I would like to see it break 150.
Yeah, I would agree. On a weekly, I could see your 140 number, like, being really a concern more than on the daily. Okay, that answers that one. What about utilities here? I'm starting to see some stuff that like those are starting to look like maybe okay as potential buys. Do you agree with that, or
absolutely? Utilities are a nice range, and they hit the bottom end of it.
Can I give you a couple of utility names?
Sure.
To see what you think about them. SO.
SO is one of my favorites. I could see SO back up to the top end of the range in the 80 area from here very easily.
Okay. How about AEP next?
And SO, by the way, has one thing that none of the other utilities have.
Okay.
And that is
a
brand new nuclear power plant.
Interesting.
That's working. And if they really believe in this clean energy stuff, nuclear power has got to be part of the solution. And they're showing that it's been, you can build one and that it works. So that, to me, is a big plus for Southern Company. AEP has been a little bit stronger than the bottom end of the range. I can see this moving up to 100 to 105 and then coming down again.
How about CMS?
Which one?
CMS. Charlie, Mary, Sam.
Yeah, that one looks like it's on the way to 70.
Okay. So obviously this is tied to a certain degree to rates. Thoughts here on TLT now, because it's like, you know, let's call it a quadruple top potentially, December, January, February, and now March. Do you think it can get through this 109 area?
I will be a seller at 109 to 110, especially
okay.
if we get the daily stochastic signal.
But if we get through it, though, it seems like it's a quick shot to 115 then, potentially.
Yeah,
correct?
that's certainly possible. Yeah.
That's probably not a bad straddle trade, like, to do.
I agree. If you can get this to 109, 110, and buy the 105 puts and the 115 calls, you'll make money.
Okay. Only other question I have is on UNG. I know we got to deal with the contango issues and everything, but it's the only vehicle that's really decent to look at. It looks like it's really putting in a base here at the $8 level. Would you agree with that?
It is putting in a base, yes. Well, no, Jeff, the reason I say that is I used to trade natural gas a lot.
Okay.
And I finally stopped because it really only works on the upside in the fall. I've had very little luck playing it for an advance before fall. So, you know, I'm afraid people are going to get stuck in it. And I've been looking at some of the natural gas stocks. I believe SWN is one of those, right? There's just nothing to say that I'm going to do well with this. I myself would rather wait for Chevron or Exxon to move down to the bottom ends of their trading ranges at 125 on Chevron, say.
Yeah.
And buy that.
Yeah, well, people don't realize, you know, after Exxon did that purchase a bunch of years ago, they're a big natural gas player.
That's why I said Chevron, yeah.
Yeah, with the break of 100 on Exxon, you can just wait till it gets back above it as one way to play, or you can just let it keep dropping. And then where would you be willing to have an entry point on Exxon? Like 90, you think?
I am going to look for 82 to 83 or mid-May.
So you know what's interesting? Biden opened up Willow up in Alaska to new exploration. And then Exxon just announced yesterday that they're going to spend $2 billion on the refinery stuff. So to me, there's like a quid pro quo there to get production in the U.S. up. Like there was a trade. I totally consider that. So that means that Exxon's revenues could really go up again. So that's why I'm really interested in that chart, especially with where nat gas is. What's amazing to me, Fred, is natural gas is on its ass, right? But yet all the utilities are raising the price of natural gas, which for the life of me, I don't understand how they're able to get away with this when the price is on its ass and it's complete low, but yet they're raising prices. I've seen umpteen articles about this. So the utilities that are, you know, that do more natural gas, they're going to really benefit here.
Yeah, and Jeff, you know, the thing that really, again, is put it this way. If you're in a state that gives you the ability to lock in your natural gas rates for a year or two, Georgia is one of those states. I know a fair bit about it. You usually do very well waiting to lock in your rates in the summer, usually around June. That's when I think these rates will come down. Jeff, I'll tell you one thing that is just wildly interesting to me about oil here. Okay. And it's anecdotal, and it's one of those things which I probably am one of the only people that we're going to meet that gets. But I've mentioned on the call before that I am an oil and gas investor. I buy leases. I don't buy them anymore because the price is high. But when the price is right, I buy oil leases producing wells from friends of mine in Texas.
Okay.
And when oil is getting ready to go up in price, I get calls from all sorts of different people offering to buy my leases. And when those calls dry up, oil is ready to take a little bit of a fall. And normally I just get letters to buy the leases.
Yeah.
I'm getting phone calls now.
Yeah.
Somebody wants my oil that's smart, that's an oil producer.
Well, you know what's interesting is crude broke this last week, broke 70. It's the first break of 70 since the end of 21. So, we're definitely, coming down now.
Yeah, but I'm still getting these calls to buy my oil leases from producers, and that's something I would have expected not to get. And letters, phone calls, all sorts of stuff. This is seasonal weakness in oil. I would love to see USO back to 50.
Okay. Good.
We may
Okay,
not.
that's it. That's it.
Got
That's it for me. That's all I got right now.
it. Let's see if there's any questions from people. Questions? Star six. I hope we didn't lose everybody.
Hey, Fred, this is
Hey,
Steve
Fred.
in Houston. What do you think of Schwab right here?
What's the symbol on it?
SCHW.
SCHW. It's on support, but it's probably not going to do much for a while. It's probably going to be some sort of a 50 to 60 range. You notice that the weekly stochastic has come down. It's not yet quite in buy mode. When it recycles, and I think it will, in the next few weeks, it's probably going to be okay. But really, guys, all of these are probably going to be back and forth and back and forth while this sorts itself out.
Thank you, Fred. One more. How about Fang Diamondback?
Bang. I haven't looked at that in a while. If you can see that down around 110, you probably want to start to buy it, but it is not in buy mode now, and we've got seasonal weakness in oil. So,
Awesome.
yeah. But you know what is, what I would do would be to make a shopping list of oil stocks you want and look at it once a week and really look at it hard when we get to mid-May.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you.
Got it. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, it's Jeff.
Hey there, Jeff. How are you?
Good. Staying on the oil theme, where do you think the bottom is in PXD? Paul X-ray David.
Let me see. If you could get that to 160, I would be real interested. It may not make it there. And again, Jeff, this is one of those ones you want to be looking at this in mid-May, no matter what the price is, assuming this oil really does drop seasonally.
Maybe nibble around 170 all the way down, and if not,
Yeah,
buy
just
today.
little nibbles and see. And what would be ideal would be at the end of the pullback in it, you'll see, a nice sharp down day, and then another sharp down day that reverses, probably two down days.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Other questions?
Fred, what about Phillips 66 placer?
Is that PSX?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. if you could fill that gap right around 80, I'd be interested. Let me check one other thing. Because I'm interested in these oils. I'm just not interested right here. I would try for 80, maybe 82 or so. And it may
Chevron
not get there. This is a stronger one. Sorry, Alan, I didn't hear you.
Oh, so, and you said Chevron 120?
Yeah, if we could get it there. And, I mean, these are obviously somewhat wish list prices. Okay. In other words, you know, we're hoping that they can really get pounded.
Okay.
But and some of them may not, right? I think the real key here is we don't want to be really chasing these as we move into seasonal weakness, where, you know, I mean, that policy seems to have worked, you know, for us in the past.
Very good.
Good.
Thanks a bundle.
Good. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Fred?
Other questions? Come on. 385.
Two for you, please.
Damn it. Sorry, which one?
Two. First one, a kind of client has got a huge position that he got privately in RELY. He just wants to trim some of it and hoping you could give us some targets.
Sure. 1550. Be your first place to start selling it, and it's not a bad chart. Let's see if we can get it to 1738. It might hit 1740, but I'd take 1738 for another chunk, and then Steve, call me offline if you need to.
Okay, great. And then the other one he wanted me to ask about is COIN, C-O-I-N.
You know, that looks – I don't like recommending these cryptos, okay? I just don't. But I've got GBTC. COIN, it could be a giant head and shoulders bottom going back to September. If this starts going much through 77, 78, this could go pretty good.
Okay.
Okay. Right. If
Thank
you're
you.
In it and you want to be safe, you want to be a seller at 71 of some of it. I think it's
okay.
going to get to 70, 71 without a lot of trouble.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate
but that
it.
Is, Steve, this is really strange. I mean, these crypto things look like they could actually make very big moves to the upside.
You know, by the way, for your trade, you know, to late April, what would be your top pick for, you know, just something kind of – could either be a stock or something by the ETF?
Something market-related like Apple.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. In other words, you want something that's going to go with the indexes.
Okay. And which index would you recommend for this?
And I would probably – you know, trade the S&P or the Qs, either one.
Okay. Great. Thanks very much, as always.
Yeah. And obviously, Steve, we have to look at how we look at the end of April. It may go more. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, I assume that. Thanks.
Yeah. Because just a comment to everybody, and then we'll go for more questions. You know, one of the things that's a little bit frustrating to me here is I kept looking at XLF for 6-7 months and noting that every time the accumulation model, I ran that accumulation model, it was weaker than the other sectors, the other stronger sectors that were trading well, okay? And, of course, accumulation model, my accumulation model has nothing to do with timing at all, but still, I don't think I should have been surprised by this bank thing. I you know, looking back, just don't think I should have been surprised by it. The signs were there, but it looks like that was a real surprise. And what it'll tell us is if we see in some of our breadth numbers some really, really you know, whites out bad breadth numbers, that'll tell me if the market was as surprised as everyone's saying it was. I don't personally think it was, but we'll just have to see. Anyway, more questions if you have them.
Hey, Fred, it's Rob in Atlanta. How you doing?
Good. How are you? I haven't heard your voice in a bit.
Yes, sir. Hey, with the equal weights taking it on the chin this week, we still have conviction there. And also get your comments on some of the mega cap tech leadership we're seeing, if that's sustainable or a little flash in the pan there.
I think it's sustainable. I think that those are the tech stocks that are going to work. You know, I still like AVGO. I still like the looks of Microsoft, which is on our list. And I still like the looks of Apple and, you know, some of the other ones. I think the real trick here, and hopefully I've been clear on this, is you want to buy the mega cap techs, but for heaven's sakes, some of these junky ones, the little ones that rallied in January, ultimately just aren't going to work. But the market's going to have a hard time rallying without tech at all. I mean, it, and even in the period after 2002, some tech stocks rallied. It just wasn't the crap that rallied, right, when the market advanced. So, yeah, you want to be owning the mega cap techs for your tech allocations. The high relative strength names, all that stuff should work, you know, at least as well as everything else. I think a lot of money's going into tech because of this bank thing, because the money has to go somewhere. We'll have to see if that's sustainable. But I think the mega cap, the good techs, with relative strength are going to continue to do well in rallies and pull back in declines, you know, as we stay in this range.
Does that alter your thoughts on the equal weight S&P versus SPY?
Not really, no. But, you know, you want to, I think, own both. And the one to really own to me for is something like SPGP, one of the smaller ones or that. But, yeah, SPY should definitely have some pickup versus RSP. RSP has been way ahead.
Got it. Thank
you. Traditionally, there's about a 1.5% difference in them over time. It's been greater. We should see it a percent of that. I think it's up like 2-3% versus SPY. Some of that should go away here, at least 1% of it. But I guess if the question is, would I sell all my RSP and buy SPY, the answer is no. Other questions?
Thanks as always.
Sure.
Hi, Fred. It's Justin.
What's up?
Diageo, Delta Echo Oscar.
You know, that's a nice little range. Your problem, Justin, is it may not make it through 177. You've got a big gap in that 180 area, so it could probably get up towards 180.
Okay.
But be a little careful if it rolls over, because it looks like it's going to go right back to 170 when this is over. But it doesn't
okay,
look
gotcha.
Terrible. Yeah.
Thanks. What about the Procter Gamble, PG?
That looks like it's headed for 145 to 150, and I do like the looks of that name.
Wonderful. And then Honeywell, HON?
I've done terrible with this stock. and, you know, let me check one thing here. It doesn't look awful on the intermediate term, but it looks like it could make it to 180 or so, and there's really not a lot saying I got to buy it here.
And then what do you think of the semis down here? Like, I mean, Intel, IMCC?
You know, that company keeps reinventing itself. You know, again, it's a base. I wouldn't mind owning a little bit of Intel, but it may be one you have to be patient on.
And then Qualcomm, QCOM?
Nice range from, say, 100 to 150. So you can buy it, but be very careful around 145 or so.
Good. And then NVIDIA, is that still?
Yeah, there's still nothing wrong with NVIDIA, except that when you get it up towards 280 to 300, it's the top end of a range, and it may turn around and come back down. But I would certainly keep it until at least 270, 280, unless something really changes dramatically. It looks just fine. No reason to sell it.
And then do you like small caps down here, like IJR or IWM?
Yes, I do. I'd like to see them get a little bit lower, but not that much. If I could get our IJR to 91, I would buy it again. If I could get the Russell, actually, has been a little weaker, probably because there's more bank exposure. I would probably try to get that in here between here and 169. Again, you should get a weekly stochastic recycle in these, and that's really when to get them. That's what I'm sort of looking for in a lot of stuff here.
Okay. And then last one, again.
I was going to say, the market looks like it's ready to do something on the upside next week. So you want to try to get into some stuff today.
And the last one, this one could be a tough one to look at, but preferreds, PFF or VRP.
You know, I'll tell you my favorite one of these is actually PGX. And I'll tell you why I like it. It's a little bit better a chart. It's $11 a share instead of what PFF is trading at, which is 30. So you can get more of it. And oddly enough, PGX has picked up in volume. PFF used to do a lot more volume. PGX is doing about the same amount of volume now. That would be my choice. I have VRP myself, and I'm going to hold it. But honestly, at this point, I would not be worried about a big rise in interest rates that last.
Okay.
So
and
VRP's reason for being is much less right now than it was last year.
And so say you buy VRP now, is there a number that you'd say, okay, if it drops below this, just blow out of it and call it a day?
Actually, yeah, below 20, you could certainly do that.
Okay.
But we're going to need to see something really interesting. Now, what is the preferred that is PFG, is it, or PGF? This might be really interesting. PGF is financial preferreds.
Okay.
And those are holding up really well, but I would say if you could get a real pounding in these, let's say we can get one of these banks to go bankrupt and say they're not going to pay on their preferreds.
Yeah.
And we could get this to $12.50, I would buy that. But we're going to need a couple of good bankruptcies probably to do that.
Okay. And, I mean, PGF is trading at $14.29. Okay.
Yeah, so if we can get that down another dollar or two, that might be a really good deal. I don't have yields on my computer. What is the yield on PGF as opposed to PGX?
You know, I'm not.
If anyone can see that,
because
if that yield is much greater on PGF, that might be a good deal.
Okay.
Jack, you should remind me to put a note in chart of interest on PGF. That might be something that's worth looking at. God, wouldn't it be great if we could get a couple of banks to go bankrupt? And, no, it's fun rooting for stuff to go down, isn't it? I'll never forget I was in a car in Los Angeles in the 80s, and the Israelis, you know, Israel had a problem because a couple of their guards went nuts and shot up a bunch of prisoners in a Palestinian camp. And I'm sitting there going, like, God, get this market down. Let's kill all of them, you know? Right.
Well, okay.
When Armand Hammer was dying on Occidental, I'm, like, calling all my friends. I was in Atlanta then, and I'm calling all my friends at UCLA Medical Center because he was there saying, is he dead yet? Is he dead yet? I want to buy the stock when he's fucking dead. And it worked. It was a great play. But people around me were like, you're a sick person, and I am. So there you are. Let's see if there's any other questions here. Other questions?
Thanks, Fred. Take care.
Got it. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, it's Barrett.
Barrett,
how are you?
How are you?
Good, man. Thanks, as always. This has been you're calling this market perfectly. So we're expecting a rally up to 420, 425 or so. So probably kickstart now. Everything's recycled. What would you buy? Because, you know, outside of SPY, I'm just having trouble finding the, you know, get up and go to buy technology here because I've avoided it for so long.
Buy some of the big techs now, Barrett. Those are good charts. Apple looks like it could do very, very well here.
So just to play the upside?
Yeah.
Because I looked at SPHB. We had a look at that this morning really hard. And it's got so much financial. And Dorsey Wright, some of those FE, some of those, you know, point and finger relative strength names have are heavy in financials and energy.
Yeah.
And just are horrible downside.
Yeah.
So what about playing any small cap here? Would you do that on the upside, or would you wait until the actual recession ensues this summer or whenever,
you know,
it does?
I would buy some small cap here, but probably not as a trade. If I'm trading, I want to trade the stuff that's going to go with the biggest indexes.
Because the small caps are underperforming pretty terribly, especially VBR, because that's so much bank exposure.
Yeah. And again, I don't particularly see these banks as going away. I don't see a lot of these banks even going bankrupt or having trouble, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm hoping. It'd be great if they did.
Well, one thing you mentioned, you know, we've been looking at PFF and PGF is interesting. But I don't think Silicon has even technically gone bankrupt yet, right? They haven't actually.
No. But we can have a whole bunch get into trouble, hopefully.
Well, and also the thing is those financial preferreds have been around for a while. Silicon Valley hasn't had enough time to actually issue
really
any preferreds everybody did in 08.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so as far as don't necessarily look at high beta move, just go SPY or IYW or on the tech side? Or
yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, you could also – yeah, exactly. One of the actual tech ETFs would be a way to go.
One thing I also wanted to ask you, just more big picture macro. You know, we can do all day looking at the 70s, looking at 102, and looking at any other decline like 08. This feels a lot like, just because it was the time frame 15 years ago, I was in Savannah when Bear Stearns died, doing St. Patrick's Day. Coming up on Friday, music's playing the same type of rhyme. My question is that I remember very clearly, and all of us do, it was around then, that the market rallied into the into May, June, then sold off again, then rallied again in July when I think Merrill sold all their subprime derivatives to Lone Star in July. Then we had a rally, and then Lehman died 2 months later. Not saying that's going to rhyme exactly to that, but it shows you that we're probably, like you said, in a range, lower low, into the summer. Is that exactly how you think we should play this?
Probably yes.
It's not as devastating as 08 was, hopefully.
The real question is, I mean, one of the things, you know, like everybody on the call, I get a lot of these newsletters that are the doomsday newsletters, right? Bob Prechter is a good friend of mine. He thinks that the S&P can go to 5. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which would be a hell of a decline.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you can say that again. Yeah.
But what I have found, and I think everybody, you know, certainly anyone that's still on the call, correct me if I'm wrong, but almost every decline that I can remember in the S&P that is more than 20%, there is a shocking fundamental attached to that, right? In the case of 2000, the shocking fundamental was that all these tech stocks had no earnings and no businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 2007, 2008, 2009, the subprime mortgage thing was actually in many respects criminal, right? So the question you have to ask, and in the 70s, what really caused the problem in the 70s was oil prices went up 500-600% because the Arabs raised their prices,
mm-hmm.
right? So the question you have to ask here is, do we have something similar to the toxic waste that we had in 2007 to 2009?
I would say not as derivative exposure as that, but I would say Bitcoin and crypto are your canary that died.
They might be. But those are actually looking good. No, the real toxic waste here
mm-hmm.
is treasury bonds. Now, let's think about that for a minute. Treasury bonds, okay? Are the treasury bonds on these banks' books going to vanish because they're worthless, like a lot of the subprime loans were? And the answer for me to that is no, they're freaking treasury bonds. They're going to mature, right? Just like with long-term capital management.
Mm-hmm.
When the Fed took over the bonds from long-term capital management, does anyone on the call know how many of those bonds actually defaulted? Because I do. None.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think that the Treasury bonds are going to default. Right.
Nor the mortgage-backed security is going to really default either.
Probably not. But the real problem, so the question is, can we have a sustained financial crisis that permeates everything that lasts over the next 6, 7, 8 months?
I would say I don't think so. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. And we should be trading that range accordingly, and all the rest of it's noise. Just watch your charts, watch your statistics, and
yeah,
everything
and realize
should be fine.
That this is if you want to look for something bearish, okay, realize that my major trend system that I use for trend following, which is the 4 monthly sets of 5 and 20 moving averages. Those have been negative since 2022, and they are still negative. Every single index.
Mm-hmm.
The NASDAQ, the transports, small cap, and the S&P. The last time we saw that was in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So in some respects, this is identical to 2007.
But that's the last bear market we really had. That's the last bear market we had.
The only thing that is negative,
yeah,
like that. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Nothing else really is.
And as you said, sorry for – thank you for expounding on this. I think this is very valuable to me. I know, and everybody on the call, I'm sure it can be. One thing I was kind of thinking about, too, is the high-level consolidation long-term is a wonderful chart to be buying. So
yeah.
At the end of the day, this last move down, whatever that is, we should be all invested, fully invested. And if we're not, we missed the boat.
Well, the real question is how do bear markets end? And I'll expound on this just a little bit and then take one more question
mm-hmm.
or two because I actually have an
appointment. I'll go ahead and put myself on mute. Thanks, Fred.
But the way bear markets end is you have declines with fewer and fewer stocks actually going down until the market is sold out and you don't have stocks going down anymore. Usually when that happens, you're in some sort of a base. And so far, that's what we've been seeing. And as part of that, being in a range, right, is normal. I mean, I don't want to I don't want to say that everything here is normal, but it actually looks kind of normal to me. I mean, obviously, we have a little bit of a banking crisis, so on and so forth, but I think the banking crisis in the news is a lot more than anything else. You know, it's news. It's a newspaper-driven event. It's not like a big bank has gone bankrupt. Let's, you know, and again, if anyone knows the answer to this, Citigroup or Bank of America or J.P. Morgan are trillion-dollar banks, right? Silicon Valley Bank was $200 billion. Let's say Bank of America owned all of it, 100% of it. You're still talking about less than a quarter of the value of Bank of America, right? This is not a big, huge bank. So, you know, for me, this is more like long-term capital management, and that was severe when it went on, but it was over in a week, 2 weeks. So that's really it. Let's see if there are any more questions. Any more questions? Questions? Yes, sir. I hear you. I don't hear you.
Hey, Fred, this is Fred, this is Tim Deegan. How are you?
Tim, how are you?
Good, good. On the bank scene here. Sorry, I tuned in a little bit late. Just
sure.
One bank, Fifth Third Bank, FITB.
Yeah, it looks to me like it's a nice sideways trend. It's going to bounce around here like all of these are, right, while they figure out what's going on. And, again, realize that one of the things that's going to make Fifth Third Bank go up is some big institutional buying by mutual funds and stuff, okay? Well, at this point in time, close to the end of the quarter, right, do you think institutions are going to want to show a lot of regional banks on their statements? Do you guys on the call want to show big exposure in regional banks on your statements for the clients to see? Probably not, right, Tim? You're probably going to have 2 or 3 weeks of bouncing around. So, I mean,
yeah, makes sense.
I'm perfectly happy if you are happy that Fifth Third is a good fundamental bank, right? And at Merrill Lynch, I believe the rating is a buy on that stock. Right, I don't know what it is on some of the other firms, and we'll have to see where that goes in the next week or so. By all means, pick that one, right? Buy one or two of them, but realize you're probably not going to see very much for the next 2, 4, 5, 6 weeks. Yeah, these are not going to be bottom, more than likely.
So nibble at them a little bit here,
yeah,
and buy more later.
Yeah, and just realize, you know, I bought a regional bank stock. I'm not going to tell you which one it is because I could be wrong about it and I don't want that kind of responsibility. But I picked one regional bank that I know well. And my plan is to buy some shares next month, month after that. Over 4 months, I'll have the position in it I want. And then we'll see what happens. And I'm going to hold it for at least a year. Right? That's probably a little bit too dramatic. And, of course, I bought some shares. If it turns around and goes right straight back up, well, then obviously I may consider selling it. But that's the way to do this. You're not, you know, there's enough things against these right now that even the good ones, they've thrown the baby out with the bathwater most likely. Right. So the question now is how to get a position in them at a reasonable price. It's like I was talking to a guy on Bank of America yesterday. Okay. And he wanted to get the absolute low on Bank of America for his 401k. And in addition to that, he can only get the closing price. Right. In other words, it's not possible to do. The real question is Bank of America a good buy here and a good sell at 40 to 50? I think it is. and I got him to sell all of his Bank of America and his 401k at 48. That worked out really well. We're putting the money back in now. But, Tim, did I answer your question? I hope I answered your question. Very good. Let's see. Are there any other questions here?
Hey, Fred, can you hear me? This is Steve again in Houston.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you had started to talk a little bit about treasuries being the toxic asset on bank balance sheets and kind of went a little bit different direction. And I've read that banks are sitting on about a $6 to $650 billion book loss. Is there further thought that you had on banks and where the marks are versus book value?
Well, the real question is, are those bonds going to default? Right. In other words, are they worthless assets?
No. I'm just worried about.
So why worry?
And runs. Got it.
You know, I think that most market participants can see through the idea that, unlike 2008, when a lot of the mortgage-backed bonds that they had on their books were worthless, they were going to default. They were zero, right? There's a big difference here, I think. Now,
that pull
we'll
the par, pull the par on the existing bonds could take a while, so these book losses could persist.
Oh, it's going to take some time.
For a while.
Yeah, it's definitely going to take some time. It's not going to end in a week or two. But
thank you.
Yeah, but the real point is, unlike 2008, I mean, I was at Merrill. In fact, I'll tell you one quick story, and then I got to get my ass in gear here. I worked with a guy named David Rosenberg at Merrill Lynch in New York in 2007, 2008. And David was one of the people that was all over the fact that three-quarters of the mortgage-backed bonds were worthless, right? Just worthless, okay? And he was the one that invented the ninja loan. Yeah, no income, you know, and they do it at night, right? No income, no financial statements, and they make the loan at night. I forget the exact acronym, but it was the ninja bond. Well, I was in a meeting, and I knew that David Rosenberg was behind me. I knew he was there, and he didn't know that I knew he was there. So I said to somebody in a very loud voice, I just got a Bugs Bunny loan for my condo. And there's this hand on my shoulder, and he spins me around, and he goes, a Bugs Bunny loan, what's that? And I said, what's up? Docs? Because it was a no-doc loan. Boy, was he ticked. But the point is, none of that's going on with treasuries. I mean, you might say the Fed is never going to be able, the U.S. government's never going to be able to pay back its treasury debt, in which case we all have problems. But that's never happened before. U.S. is one of the only countries that hasn't ever defaulted, by the way. So I'm just not worried in the same way that it was fairly clear in 2008. Anyway, other questions? Very well. Then we're going once. We're going twice. Very well.
Fred,
yes, sir?
Hey, sorry. One couple real quick. Could you look at Sunrun here, RUN, and tell me if that's worth a trade?
It is. I'd feel better about it if it went right back above 20. If this has options expiring, you could see this above 20 on Friday. But this is certainly tradable. A little scary, but
tradable. Bottom end,
it's at the bottom end of a range.
And where do you see Apple running? You said earlier that would be a good trade.
Yeah, Apple should go up the same percentage as the S&P. I could see this going back to 160 without any trouble at all, 170. 160, 165, somewhere like that. The stock looks decent.
And could you also look at Morgan Stanley MS and tell me, does that need to base here now?
Yeah, it's
like
probably
going to
base, but if you're a Morgan Stanley broker and you can buy this stock at a discount in your 401ks, this is an excellent time to me to start to do that, especially if you sold it at 100.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I would want to have this in my 401k at this time. It's right at the bottom of an 80 to 100 trading range. You know, sorry, 85 to 100 trading range. It's probably going to stay in that for a while, but it's at the bottom end of it. You have to try it.
Okay. And one last one, DraftKings, DKNG. Do you think that has a little room for the next week, you know, through March Madness here to pop
yeah,
a little bit?
Yeah, 19 to 20. 19, well, 20. Certainly 19. 19 and a half.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you very much.
Got it.
Take care.
Other questions? Otherwise, we're off. Very well. This will end the Fed Report Technical Market Call for March 16th, 2023. Everybody have a great time with the March Madness. My schools aren't going to do much of anything.